This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. There's apparently more to the latest flap between Donald Trump and Fox News. The network said it canceled Trump's scheduled appearance on today's The O'Reilly Factor before the billionaire announced his boycott of Fox News. The network accused the Republican presidential frontrunner of creating yet another distraction from any real issues he might be questioned about. Earlier today, Trump posted a message on Twitter saying he will not be doing any more Fox shows for the foreseeable future. Trump also accused Fox News of treating him very unfairly. With only days to go before a possible government shutdown, presidential spokesman Josh Earnest says it's time for Republicans to sit down with Democrats and figure something out. The federal government runs out of money at month's end without a bipartisan agreement to extend funding. Some Republicans want to link budget talks with efforts to defund Planned Parenthood, a non-starter for Democrats. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. Evangelist Don Piper, who was pronounced dead by paramedics after a horrific highway accident, is encouraged by everyone who has seen the film 90 Minutes in Heaven that depicts what happened to him in 1989. Piper tells us the movie is for anyone who has ever been knocked down.
I certainly was knocked down. I'm not the same person I was before the truck ran over me and killed me. But I don't want to be bitter. I want to be better. And I think that is a choice that you have to make. It won't come naturally.
Jacob Soms of ChristianCinema.com tells us 90 Minutes in Heaven is about a lot more than the hour and a half Piper's lifeless body was on the side of the road covered with a tarp.
In 90 Minutes in Heaven, we really see that it's about how we're supposed to live our lives after we've experienced God in such a profound way that's supposed to change our life, that heaven bleeds backwards into today.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded woman's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
Results of the study could be used to pursue laws to help control air quality. Federal immigration agents are once again allowed back at Los Angeles County jails to find deportable inmates. The new policy announced by Sheriff Jim McDonnell allows ICE agents back inside jails, but only to interview inmates who have committed what are considered to be serious crimes and are not protected by the California Trust Act. Jail officials will also be able to notify ICE agents up to 7 days before certain inmates are to be released so they can be picked up upon release and have deportation proceedings begin. The new policy is already under fire from immigration advocates who say it'll lead to racial profiling. The new Buick Cascada arrives in dealer showrooms early next year. It's the first convertible sold by Buick in over 25 years and will feature a roof that'll lower in under 20 seconds. The Cascada is a four-seat vehicle aimed at a market that includes the Audi A3 Cabriolet. The starting price of just under $34,000 will include the destination charge. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you hear?
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
And now, I'm supposed to talk?
Yes, you're supposed to talk now, Joe.
Okay, very good. Pastor Tom, see, Pastor Tom really, really helps me a lot. He looks at me, gives me a dirty look, which has done enough clues. You got to tell me, Joe, now is your time to start.
And you think that's the dirty look?
I think that's it.
He's going easy on you, Joe.
1-888-221-8990. 1-888-221-8990. This is the Team Martech Hour. I am Joe Martech. Joe Martech's a financial advisor, also called a stockbroker, a securities principal, lots of licenses, which, by the way, Vince Rosino, CPA extraordinaire, is sitting across from me right now. And you get a kick out of it. You know, CE, we both have to take continuing education
courses. Continuing ed, absolutely.
Well, every year or two or three, and I don't know how often, because, you know, do you pay attention? You just get told what you're supposed to do?
Well, no, I have to pay attention because I have to deal in two states. I have license in New York and here in Florida.
I got 13 states.
Wow, so you got to pay attention too.
The point is, what my broker-dealer, see, folks that, well, you may not know, but if you're a stockbroker, you usually have what's called a broker-dealer, which is a Dean Witter, Merrill Lynch, whatever. And they have compliance people, and the compliance people tell you, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, you spend this is what it's going to cost you. So they've been big time on me. And one I've got to go through, this is my favorite one, is 3.5 hours long, and it's, you got to go
on ethics.
Yeah, but yeah. you got to go to a center, you know, like what do you call it?
Oh, yeah, like a training institute. Yeah, I know how to do that.
You go in, and then they take everything in your pockets. You can't have anything, and you get
can't
a locker.
Cheat.
Yeah, and you cannot have a cheat. You can't have anything.
Can't have anything.
Then you sit in front of a screen for 3.5 hours. Now, there is no test.
No test. You just answer questions on the screen.
What happens is this. Are you awake? We have a question. Because if you're not paying attention, you won't know the answer. Then you have to take it again. Yep.
That's like some of these online courses.
Yeah.
You know, where you take a podcast. You go on there and you do these interaction stuff. The only way they know that you're there is that every once in a while they'll pop up something on the screen. And they'll say, please enter the code from the last screen.
Yeah,
and you better put it in there.
You better know that code.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Yeah. You don't get it. You just don't get the credits.
I get a kick out of it because
I know like driving school online.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
So what they do is there's two things that this is going to be about. One is going to be about money laundering, which is, you know, what a big thing today money laundering is. And people that don't know, I mean, I got to tell you something. If I take money that I shouldn't take, and first of all, that's the mortal sin. You know, this is the terrible thing. You can't do that. I have to get it approved before I take it. I can't take cash. I can't take money orders.
Right.
All kinds of rules.
They want to know where the money's coming from.
And then if the money comes in on a wire transfer, that's a big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got all kinds of rules. So a big portion of this thing is going to be on pay attention for money laundering.
Right.
The second part is really ethics. Mm-hmm. You know, are you doing a right thing? And they go through examples, and you got to pay attention to the examples and then check off, you know, are you supposed to shoot the person first or later? You know, they give you some choices.
I have to go every 3 years.
Yeah.
I have to go for four credits of ethics. They tell us.
Basic thing.
And I got to do it proctored? In two states. No, it's.
You can do it online?
You do it online.
Well, I got tons I do online. I don't count those. This is the only one I count. I've got to drive down to, they give me choices where I can go and dates.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so luckily it's only in West Palm, which is
not
good.
Too far.
Yeah, which is good. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. As I said, I am Joe Martech, financial advisor, etc. With me is sitting, other than Pastor Tom, who is falling asleep. No, stay awake, Tom.
You're supposed to pop something up on the screen so I can answer it.
There you go. Hey. Okay. You got a magic marker.
I'll write it
on the screen.
Write it on a piece of paper and wave it at him.
And then Vince Rizzino, CPA, also called a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness given credibility by the court system. Also, he used to be an actually college professor.
Yes, I was, Joe, but not at Columbia.
Anyway, I've been picking on him for a few years about that. That's an inside joke, folks. That means nothing. The other members of the team, and the concept was simple. In order to be a credible professional, what you do normally is align yourself with other professionals that you deem to be credible also. So other members of the, and by the way, the other side of the coin that I looked when we started doing these shows 10 or 12 years ago was to find people that were not new in business, that had a long track record of credibility. Integrity became the monster word. And the only reason I didn't want people new in business, that doesn't mean they're not honest, but normally if you're new in business, if you're going to make a mistake, that's the time you do it. After you've been in business 20 or 30 years, you are paranoid about making a mistake because, you know, starting over again at your, it's like Tom. I mean, Tom, how could you ever start over at your age?
Slowly.
Yeah, but Joe, you know, there's only one person I know of that's perfect.
I know.
And so, therefore, the rest of us are fallible. So we can make mistakes from time to time. We try hard not to. But
I've always said, you know, last time I walked on water,
it was frozen.
It was frozen, right?
Well, you know, it is tough to start over if, you know, after many years.
Absolutely.
Because you've built a reputation and you don't want to have to go back and rebuild that.
Well, there becomes the other members of the team. And when I first started doing this, an independent insurance agent was a big, big deal because after Hurricane Andrew, which put like 11 or 12 insurance companies out of business, maybe 13, state paid every claim, by the way, because once you're an admitted company to do business in the state is your partner because almost nobody can read a homeowner's insurance policy or any one of these. They're very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the critical part. But I needed to find what's called an independent insurance agent. Independent meaning he didn't work for one insurance company. He worked for the client, and then he'd have 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 insurance companies that he could shop for the client, and if one fell out of vogue, he could pick up another one and protect his clients. And you think that might sound easy, but let me just tell you, finding the right independent insurance agent, somebody in business a long time, somebody that had integrity, had credibility, great reputation, and that's Dan. In fact, I had a phone call this morning from a client, said, Joe, you got that insurance guy's phone number? I'm going to check my car insurance. And I tell every client, hey, you call him up on the phone and let him check for you and see if you can get a better deal. And these people.
And he's very prompt. He's very good.
Yeah.
His office is right on the ball. The staff is great.
Then the other original member, Greg Fasula, attorney, who was on the show, by the way, this morning.
He was.
How come he didn't show up
with this one?
You know, Greg, this is punishment for him.
Oh, yeah.
He I love doing these shows. You like doing them. But Greg, I mean, this is not fun for him.
Well, that's, you know it's, we like having him around.
When you're a liberal Democrat, you know, you don't have fun on shows.
Here he goes again.
But that's why he has such a trouble coming is because you pick on him so much.
That's true, too, and I do.
You do. Mercilessly you pick on him.
We did talk about wills and trusts today and some of the things that happen. And you know, almost every week, and how often I call you and I have a question because
periodically,
and
you never ask me any easy ones.
Of course not. If I knew the easy ones, I already know.
That's but true.
The key was, I'll just give you an example of what happened today. So a client of mine is taking care of mom. A relative snuck in a power of attorney. She went to another attorney, snuck in another power of attorney. But now, we need to do a trust because the house. You know, I mean, literally all kinds of stuff can happen. But once it's in a trust, and that's recorded as a trust, I don't care who's got documents, the trustee is going to be a part of that document when it's recorded and it becomes neat.
But corollary to that is you got to make sure that the assets are assigned to the trust or that they're titled.
Funded because that in the trust.
It's got to be funded. If it's not funded, then it doesn't exist inside that trust.
What Vince just said was this. Let's just say you establish a trust with an attorney. Okay, just because you do that doesn't mean you're protecting anything. Any asset you want to protect has to be transferred into the trust. So a home, it's called Joe Martek's house today. When I put a trust together, it's called Joe Martek's trust
right
tomorrow. Mm-hmm. That now becomes the owner of the house.
Now if you have that trust, you go to your attorney, you establish that trust. Do you have to go to the county and retitle your home into that trust?
Yes, sir.
Because I have a trust that if I want to add items, personal items to it, I just write them on a Schedule A.
There's no problem with that, but real estate is different.
Yeah.
You have to title the real estate.
Okay.
Now, when you do that, all it is, the attorney normally, and in fact,
that wouldn't necessarily be true for all of her personal properties things.
Not at all.
They can just put that into trust.
You can say everything that I've got goes into trust and is to be divided.
You put a codicil into that trust thing in the document.
Codicil, that's a good word.
And that basically would list out.
That's what the Schedule A is.
Yes, exactly.
Point becomes, real estate, you actually change the deed. And you record the deed at whatever the courthouse is.
Or any other property. Yeah, not only real estate, Joe. It could be equipment. It could be a car. It could be a boat.
Yeah,
it could be
anything that has a title.
You can do that. Anyway, the real estate's the critical thing because normally that's worth a lot of money. $50,000, $100,000, $200,000, $500,000. You know, houses are not
cheap. In your case, a million.
I can't talk about that. Anyway.
That 23 Buick.
That 23 Buick, yeah. That one would work. 23, really? Where'd you find that number?
It just came to my head.
I don't even know Buick was around.
That might be worth more than a million.
Around in 23?
I have no idea. Oh.
And he just, you know, he's off the top of his head. Anyway, so the trust, basically, what does it do? Well, one, it avoids probate when you die. Number two, let's say you get sued. If that home is a house, the house is a homestead, it's exempt from attachment. But let's say somebody else tries to sneak in and do something. Once that's recorded at the courthouse in a trust with the date, anybody that tries to do anything that doesn't comply with that document is going to have a problem. So it's a good document. Anyway, also when you do that trust, if you do what's called a living trust, you would take stock accounts, brokerage accounts, bank accounts. All of them would say, instead of Joe Martek's checking account, it would say Joe Martek's trust account. Same thing. I can still write checks, do everything as normal. But literally, when I drop dead, it's not subject to probate.
And the key thing on the trust, show, get a competent person to be the trustee.
Absolutely.
And make sure that those are up to date. And make sure the beneficiaries of
the other side of the coin it came into was a successor trustee. You know, what happened is today, the situation came up. Okay, there's a named trustee. But the named trustee, in order to name the next trustee, has to agree to it. I said, no, you can't do that. Because what if they die? What if he dies? Well, now you got a problem. What if he gets in a car accident, in a coma, not competent? You got to have some kind of succession that gives that first trustee the right to go to the second trustee. So, forgive me, Lord, but attorneys do make mistakes on occasion.
But that should be it should be named in the document itself, Joe. The successor trustee usually is named in that document.
Well,
so something happens to the grantor, which is the one who sets it up.
But once the grantor passes,
it's too late to identify somebody at that point.
No.
Well, usually they had signed. In other words, it's identified in the document who the successor trustee is.
But it can be changed. Yes, it can. As long as you, the grantor, meaning the one that starts the trust, you can change anything until you're dead.
But that's what my point was: is if the grantor passes away and there's only one trustee assigned.
Yeah. That's a problem.
How do they assign another trustee?
Unless you give the new trustee the authority to do it.
And normally it has to be incorporated in the trust. It'll be in the document.
Normally they would.
Yeah.
And, you know,
the ones I've seen, it's in
there. Oh, absolutely.
There.
So what I always do with my clients, I said, let me see your trust. Let me just go through because there are certain things that I know. But I have seen mistakes.
Well, like I said to you before, I mean, there's only one person I know that was perfect.
You know, have you met him?
No.
Okay.
But I will.
You better watch your P's and Q's. Face
I,
and face.
I have a relationship.
You should have met him already.
But I heard.
No, not in physical, physical world.
I heard that
faith. But he's met you.
Yes, he's met
me. I heard faith and faith alone may not work for Italians.
What? What do the Italians have to do? And it's worse if you're from New York.
Oh, boy. Double whammy. Folks, listen. I have a client of mine. I said, you know, in fact, he came from this radio show. And I says, you know, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor. And he says, let me tell you right now, Joe, he has to put up with you.
Yeah. You're his test case.
There you go. Anyway, 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. The one I was talking about today, the power of attorney, said that in order for a new power of attorney to be named, the first one had to name it. And I said, you can't do that. There has to be a clause in there that allows for a succession based on death, disability, incompetence, mm-hmm. something. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't have that, you know, not everybody can just automatically name the next person because they're able to.
And besides that, Joe, you know, just because you're named a successor trustee doesn't make you a lifetime commitment.
No.
You may say to the beneficiaries at that point, right? I resign.
Yeah, of course.
As trustee. Mm-hmm. Now somebody's got to step into the breach and assign a new trustee.
Normally what happens is the trustee that's resigning, if it's not written in there, they have to name the successor, mm-hmm. and it better say that in the document.
Exactly.
So we go through this, unfortunately, on a daily basis.
Well, if worst case scenario, that's not in there, what happens? Does the state make that determination?
Well, now you have a problem. It's called the courts.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the courts. This is where an attorney comes in and starts rubbing his hands together and smiling.
Getting all these flashing lights in his eyes.
He says, this might take 6 months or a year to get sorted out. Got to go through the courts, and the court has to rule. But the truth is, that's what the courts are there for. Unfortunately, that could be avoided if these documents were done properly.
Yeah, you don't want to go there if you don't have to.
Well, you're going to be dead anyway.
Well, your successors don't want to go there.
And you don't want them? Yeah. Point I'm trying to say is, so when I had one a few years ago, Vincent, and you'd understand this. Here's a client leaving lots of money, like $5-6 million. Two kids. Said, okay, each kid gets $25,000 a year.
A year. That's an annuity.
And I said, that doesn't work. And she goes, why? And I said, the way it's earning, that $25,000.
You'll never deplete the principal.
You'll never deplete it. And what happens when they die?
Right.
It was not treated in the trust. I said, it's got to have an end date. You got to go back to the attorney and say, hey, when these kids turn 60, 50, 45, pick a number, whatever money's left, they get. Bam, just be done with it. And she goes, well, how do I know I can trust them? Let me just tell you something. If you can't trust them by then, you're never going to trust
them.
Or you want to put it to a charity. You've got to have something that happens at a certain date. Otherwise, this thing, there is no end, and who would get the money? Courts, again, would come in.
The attorneys.
Yeah, and attorneys, mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway, these are things that the average person doesn't have to address, but when you deal with Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, we're going to go through these things if you fit. If you don't fit, you know, this is called the curse.
Well, some people may not need all of that.
Of course not.
You know, when I went to Greg Fasula,
right,
did a will, I said, well, I'd like to do a trust for this, that, and the other. He said, well, in the state of Florida, you don't really need it.
Exactly. One thing about Greg, he won't suggest you waste money and spend extra money for a trust if you don't need it. And he'll explain that to you,
mm-hmm.
which is another reason I love Greg. He's not one of these people that automatically. I heard one the other, it made me sick to my stomach again. For a power of attorney, they charged him $900.
For a power of attorney?
And it made me sick. I didn't even want to ask anything else. Isn't that terrible?
Can't that be done for like $50?
Well, no. Let's just say let's say
it's an hour's worth of time. Maybe it's $250.
Say $250. Yeah.
All right.
I mean, that's I would consider that what you call a high normal.
$900
is that was kind of, isn't that sad?
Yeah.
Maybe they had a long signature.
That's abusive.
See, that's why I normally want to get with my clients ahead of time to get them educated.
The pastor's cracking himself up, you know. All you folks out there can't see him, but he's laughing.
He's grinning and laughing back here.
He's grinning over
there.
Yeah, he cracked himself up.
I had to laugh to keep from crying.
Yeah, the attorney you went to before Greg, you know, right? $10,000 later.
Hmm.
I'm kidding. All I'm trying to say is one of the things that we do with people, whether you're a client or not, makes no difference. We're here to help people. And one of the perks of getting old and having lots of experience is, one, you get to look like Pastor Tom, but I don't have to act like him.
Hmm.
Mm. Very good. You like that, huh?
Mm? No comment.
You keep trying to drag him in.
I'm trying to drag him in. It's not working today.
No, it's not working.
Sooner or later, we'll get him, though. You know, 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. So we covered a couple subjects,
yeah,
right? Let's start a business.
Oh, you want to start a business?
I'm going to start a business. Well, I want to go on.
What kind of business?
Well, I want to start producing widgets.
You do?
Yeah.
And thingamabobs.
You want to be a production house. You want to be a manufacturer.
I want to be I'm going to make widgets.
And are there going to be partners?
Well, I'm not positive, but I'm married.
You're married?
Yes.
That has other... Do you have a good divorce lawyer?
Okay, but before that...
No, but seriously, with the business, there's these threshold questions that I have to answer when you want to start a business. So is it going to have partners? Do you intend to lose money? Well, no. I say that nobody intends to lose money, but sometimes in the course of the first year or two, you know you're going to lose.
Well, there's another question is, okay, how much money are you going to fund this with to start with? Have you done a budget?
Not only the budget. Yeah, the budget part of that process is a forecast, a cash forecast, a budget, whatever you want to call it, which is basically a guidepost for you so you know where you hit. But yeah, how much money do you have? Because the biggest problem you have with new businesses is they're underfunded.
Well, the other side of the coin is, where did you come up with your numbers? So people say, I want to start making this widget. Okay, what's it going to cost to make the widget? I think about $5. What are you going to sell it for? I'm going to sell it for 10. Okay, now that's wholesale. Then the retailer is going to want to sell it for 20. You got to be kidding me. And I said, no, you have to learn that retailers aren't going to work for 9 cents on a dollar. I mean, they need to have a pretty good spread. Now, let's say you get an order from a retailer and he wants 10,000 of your widgets and it costs $5 a widget. Do you have enough money to make those 5,000?
Right. It's called working capital, Jim.
Yeah. And you don't? Oh, how's your credit? You're going to have to go to a bank and use that contract to borrow money. You best get that taken care of before we even start the business.
Well, you better take that money personally because no bank's going to offer it to you as a company.
They will not offer it. You're going to have to sign personally. Do you have assets to back it up? I mean, there's how many questions are there, Vince? It goes on and on.
Literally hundreds, but you try to get the basics out of the way. For me, I try to look at the tax aspects as well as the monetary, because most people take care of the money side. They have an idea of what they need and what they go in.
Now, what if this widget business is a franchise?
Well, then you got other issues there.
You got
franchise fees to pay. Whether, you know, it's based on sales, yes. But if your margins are not there,
as a franchise, you assume other obligations.
Well, most of them are back to the franchisor, but it depends on the franchise agreement. You have agreements to buy supplies from them. Like if you're a McDonald's franchise, you got to buy the cups and the burgers.
You got to buy your food.
Everything you can't get ketchup from another supplier. Everything goes right through the franchise.
I've gone through a couple of franchises and I'm very impressed with some of them, especially Subway. Subway impressed me to no end. Mm-hmm. You just stay out of the way. They've got it all laid out, and if you don't do it according to the agreement in a franchise, they yank it away from you, and you're not going to get a penny back.
You see, the beauty part about the franchise is that they provide training, marketing, and things like that.
And you're guaranteed advertising and all
the
above. All
guaranteed, not the good word. They will do advertising. Some of them don't. That's where they skimp. The national ones. I'm talking about the smaller ones. Yeah. Sometimes they promise you the world and then they don't deliver. But the big ones, yes, they'll give you marketing, they'll give you advertising, they'll make arrangements for you, they'll even help you select a site, do all kinds of things for you in exchange for the fee.
Of course.
That's the quid pro quo. Yeah. And they have certain rules. You have to buy from them or whatever.
Buy through their sources, whatever.
And you have to go through training. The big thing is training. They've got to be able to train you and keep you up to date on training at least once a year.
I will tell you a true story as opposed to a lie. And don't you love when people say this?
I hope you always tell us true stories.
What I like is whenever somebody says,
Believe me.
What?
Bless his heart. He doesn't
bless
lie.
His heart. Right? Anybody from the South know what bless your heart means. Anyway, so ex-girlfriend of mine owns a couple of Subway restaurants, and she's got two different stores, and she's got insurance for these stores. So she gets her insurance renewal, and she doesn't know what the policies say. And I say, hey, let me take him to Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Let's see what he can do. Dan basically insures both of the stores for $5,000 a year less than she's paying and gets her better coverage.
$5,000 less?
Less. And gets her better.
What she was paying before.
And gets her better coverage.
Wow.
So the policies are written and the insured and the other ones are gone. Well, then the Subway comes back to her and says, you can't do that. We have only four approved.
Really?
Yeah.
So they tell you which insurance carrier which ones to go with. That's very interesting. And that borders on collaboration.
No kidding. So then go back and say, hey, look, I mean, I understand that you got these four and they've got 93,000 stores that they do, but literally I'm getting better coverage for $5,000 less. Right?
It's sad. It sounds un-American.
Well, guess what happened? Guess what happened? We had to renegotiate these things and Dan lost this business.
He did.
After 1 year, he lost it. But he helped her with the new company so that the new company basically covered her as well as Dan did and lowered the premium.
Lower than Dan could get?
No, but about the same. But basically cut her by $5,000 a year and got her the same coverage that Dan provided. Now, if Dan had not done that, and if I had not done that, she would have had lesser coverage and paid more premium.
But why did she move off of Dan?
Because she was required
Subway,
to buy
Subway
them.
Said,
because Subway said that
yeah.
she had to.
You had to.
But they let her do it 1 year?
But this was the process it took to get rid of Dan.
I gotcha.
The home office, et cetera, and all that.
You know, that sounds, like I said, sounds like collaboration.
Well, it's a franchise, and they have their things. Now, does that mean there was something wrong or fattening or who knows? We don't know. But the bottom line was, it sometimes you can help teach the teacher by stirring the pot that somebody may not have stirred.
Because by the way, we don't mean to besmirch Subway by this conversation. I'm sure that everything's above board, et cetera.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, he just said that they were a great company.
Yeah. Oh, I love everything they do. But it was just one of those things. And
everything they make.
Oh, I like this sandwich.
Let me tell you, sandwiches
are good.
I just tried to get, I can't get a free one anymore because she dumped me. But, you know, whatever.
That's too bad.
I know. What can I tell you? Anyway.
I would have stayed with her just for that benefit.
That's what I figured. Free Subways, right?
There's no such thing as a free lunch.
Here we go. Unless you're a politician, you forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Usually those lunches are rubber chickens. Those are dinner.
With green beans.
1-888-22. This is the Frick and Frack Show, or the Click and Clack. 1-888-221.
Molary, girly.
Well, what if someone, you know, is out there, they want to start that business?
Wait a minute. I've tried to finish a phone number here so people could call.
Are you going to
Tom, you rudely interrupted.
I'm sorry.
What's the phone number here? We had a producer here. He's supposed to help me with this.
Yes. Every once in a while, I do remind you, 888-221-8990. And if you have business questions, why not call the
call
station today?
Whether it's starting a new business, you got to do an existing business, and you need tax advice. Yeah, we'd be happy to.
Financial advice. We're talking insurance a bit. We're talking a little bit of legal.
Legal. Guess what? Without lawyers, we can't talk about legal.
No, but we can talk a bit about trusts and wills because we don't charge for that. Any information we give you is for anything we do on a radio, period, we don't charge for. We're here to help people and to get them guided in the right direction, which leads me to the last two members and save your question, Tom. You remember what it is?
No.
That's what I figured. That's what I think I talk long enough, he'd forget
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Didn't take much. Talk for 15 seconds, right, Tom?
It was gone. What's your name again? Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, hardest working realtor that I've ever met in my entire life. Miss Bubbles. She's only got two speeds. She's either full blast working or she's sleeping. This girl is the most credible person there is. She's a bit crazy. No, I've known the girl since 1980.
Wonderful, Joe. Wonderful.
And then Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. They work hand in glove. And one of the things that everybody we talk to, hey, if you're looking to buy a house, especially your first time, or even second or third or fifth, the first thing you should do before you even go looking at houses is talk to a mortgage broker to say, hey, what can I qualify for so I know how much money I can spend? What kind of mortgages are available based on my income and credit? Mike will tell you in less than 10 minutes on the phone, won't cost you a nickel, just to find out where you stand. And we've had numerous stories of people that didn't do that, that had to come back because of cart and a horse.
Yeah.
Now, 1-888-221-8990. So the group here basically to help you is Vince Rizzino, CPA, Greg Fasula, attorney, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent, Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, and Joe Martek, financial advisor, and Pastor Tom, when I can keep him awake.
Is he an ex officio of this group?
I think so.
Don't be calling me names.
You know, he's from Georgia. You got to be careful.
That's right. Those ex officios, you got to watch. those are fighting words.
888-221-8990. Now, just in case you don't want to talk to us on the radio, which is what it's sounding like, You can call the radio station anytime during the week, before or after the show, anytime. You'll talk to Pastor Tom or Connie. They'll take your name and number and have us call you back. And one of the things, or not one of the things, but one of the thing that's been very gratifying is we have been able to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been extremely gratifying for us because this storehouse of stored up knowledge and information and tests and experience that our group has, in my humble opinion, is unbelievably good. When you put together six professionals that are all in business for a long time, all local people, you know, I hate to die here. Excuse me. I hope to die here, but just not necessarily soon.
Right.
One more trip to the Bahamas, and then
that's it.
One more trip? I ask them that every year. I said, can you give me one more trip, Lord? And then after I come back, I say, thank you so much. And I said, by the way,
how about next year?
Can I get one more?
Well, you know, one of the things that comes to my mind about, you know, finance and real estate and all of this, we've got a growing population of baby boomers that are getting ready to retire.
Big time in Florida.
A lot of people are moving to Florida.
Yeah.
One of the things I hear from a lot of these people is they want to downsize and restructure their financial situation for the long term of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things they might consider that maybe would slip by them? I mean, is selling the house and moving into a condo a good idea or what?
That's a good question.
Well, see, it is a good question, but not every question has a simple answer. I think
that one has no simple answer.
You need to look at that on a case-by-case basis, Pastor, because you don't know the financial circumstances of the person you're dealing with. So you don't know what their needs are. You don't know what they need every month to. And when you say downsize, is it just a physical downsize? Does it mean that it's going to be monetarily the downsizing as well? Because
Joe and I were talking before the show today, and I was telling him, you know, I'm getting tired of cutting grass, you know, and maintaining a house.
After he fell off the roof, it really got him.
Falling, you know, when you fall off the roof, you know what?
And all of
that
things,
explains,
you know,
a lot.
But a lot. That does, doesn't it?
You know, I always wonder why that one side of your head was lumpy.
Yeah. Well, he's got that government plastic up there. That's what he said.
But, you know, a lot of people are, you know, as we age,
right,
their priorities, yes, you know, change and things. And I was just wondering, you know, as a financial planner and looking at, in general, you know, what are some of the things that people might not consider?
What you just described is more than just a financial issue.
Yeah.
What you described is a lifestyle what you're comfortable with. You just said, I don't want to have to deal with lawns anymore. Well, you can move into a house.
Yeah.
Move into a homeowners association, for example.
I don't want to do that either.
Well, the point is that this would address your issues about maintaining the lawns, about, you know, you don't want to have to deal with the outside of the house anymore.
But there's more than that. What I usually like to do is work backwards. I said, okay, fine.
I heard that about you.
Okay, my income is $50,000 a year. That's what I have for my wife and I. They're just the two of us. And I said, okay, how many children do you have? Well, we have four children. How many grandchildren do you have? We have six. I said, okay, how much cash do you have sitting in the bank available for emergencies? We've got $10,000. When you start filling in these blanks, because let's just say if I had no children and no grandchildren, boy, I'll tell you what, your potential costs in life are considerably less. But when you have children, grandchildren, and what happens is all of a sudden you're at the top of the pecking order and a disaster happens, what's going to happen? That money's gone because you've got it. And thank you, Lord, I've got it. But on the other hand, you've got to have what's called contingency money. So before you end up spending all your money and moving into something and laboring yourself to pieces, you've got to consider all that stuff. And it's not easy. This whole equation is not easy.
It really comes under a bigger umbrella, is what Joe's saying. He's right. It's the bigger umbrella of retirement planning is what you're really referring to.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the downside.
Well, who does one go to get that information?
You could go to Joe. You could go to me.
You go to both. Either or both
to help you with a plan. How you execute it is the difference.
You've got to sit down and think. And you know what happens is forest in the trees. Most people, by the time they're not so young, have pretty much figured this out. They don't really need too many people to help them. They've pretty much figured it out. Those that haven't,
probably don't have any money.
That's you put that one.
They could be in a position where they're living, you know, still paycheck to paycheck. Okay. The constant thing is this. When I look at a client, like I've got two people right now, they're in their 80s, they're in an assisted living, and they're spending $6,000 a month. It's expensive, but it's nice.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Well, we had to take into consideration how much income they have, how much can I make sure they have an income so that they can afford to live this lifestyle.
Right.
And if they couldn't, I'd say you can't do it. You know, what are my choices then? Well, you move in with your kids, that's one. Isn't that exciting? Or you live in a place that's not as exotic. Maybe it's $4,000 a month or $2,500.
You could go under the Medicaid rules, but if you have no money and you're broke. But then again, you're not necessarily going to a top shelf.
That's my point is, all of these things are considerations you take in. And this, I go through this constantly with people. People walk in, and I've got a fellow right now. He's an accountant, and he's done a really good job. And he showed me all of his stuff and what it is, and he put down $60,000 a year is what he wants as income. And I added it up and I said, you got $46,000 a year in income. He says, well, I might have padded it a little bit. And I says, well, you got druthers and reality.
Right.
Is the reality okay? Or do you want to get more? Then we need to look at another equation.
Yep.
So nothing is simple. There is no easy answer to this. This downsizing. How many people do we know, Vince, they come to Florida, they have a place up north and a place here. They go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then eventually they figure out, I don't like doing that. And they end up with just the place here. This is not abnormal.
Or for health reasons, you know, they might stay with the place up north.
Yeah.
I have a lot of clients that do the back and forth.
Yeah.
I can tell you, one of the women, she's in her early 80s now, and she's just really at the point she doesn't want to do it anymore.
Well, that's my point.
And she would rather stay here. But her whole family's up there.
I know.
And so it's a dilemma for most of them.
And what we have to do normally as a financial advisor or a CPA, because we're both doing the same thing. Hey, we got this much in, this much out. We got $11.49 left over. That's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to have contingencies. So how you live, hey, whether it's a single wide trailer out in Indian Town or if it's a house on the water in Sewell's Point, it's dollars in, dollars out, what's left over for contingencies. And it's not a simple
thing. You'd be surprised how many don't have that contingency fund.
I know.
And because it keeps growing, too. There was a time when you only needed 3 months. And
well, a lot of things have happened, too, over the last, you know, with the collapse of the economy.
Right.
A lot of people lost the farm.
Jobs. They lost the land. They lost the money.
Lost their homes.
They lost their homes.
Here comes investing.
And you've got a whole...
Okay, so
group
now
of these people that are coming up that are going to be out there,
well,
and then they're not so sure that even Social Security is going to be around, and you know,
well,
yes, down the road.
Well, I think it's hopefully, and maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard, but I'm saying that hopefully those that are near retirement or already collecting, they're not going to be affected.
Quite
that
honestly,
much by it.
I don't
only on the periphery.
People. This is almost like a scare tactic, political. The United States government is the United States of America is the best country on earth. Period. There is nobody on earth that can say that we are not it. And when everybody comes up and says, well, this isn't going to happen, conspiracy theories, I say, no. We are the land of milk and honey. We can produce everything. Are there abuses? Of course. Can things be corrected? Yes. The Social Security system, it needs to be changed, no doubt about it. But what's going to happen is, I guarantee, this is Joe Martek now, whatever is in place is not going to be changed to the detriment of the existing retirees.
I agree with that.
What they are going to do, and they already have, full retirement is now 66 in a few months. That will slowly become almost 67 or 68 over a period of time. And then they're going to have to change some other things. This is all politics, but it's going to have to happen. But right now they're saying till 2033... We're okay.
That date keeps changing too, but the worst part of it is that Medicare is going broke a lot quicker than Social Security.
Yes, it is. All these things have to be addressed, and this is a political thing.
They've been kicking it down the road.
Kick the can down the road.
40 or 50 years now they've been kicking this problem. They saw this coming. They saw the baby boomers of 75 million. Do you know that 10,000 boomers a day are retiring?
There comes the problem.
And collecting Social Security.
There comes the problem. So what has to be addressed, and it is being, but not, it seems as though we wait until it's a panic to address it, but that seems to be the system. Are we all hoping and praying that is not going to be the system?
Well, yes. I think so, but you know, you mentioned that 10,000 a day are retiring and people are collecting Social Security. a lot of the seniors that I talk to, they're saying, I'm going to go ahead and get it at 62 because,
yes, you know. Well, that's a good segue into this whole Social Security. When should you take it?
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
And each person has to be looked at individually. Is it the right thing to do? Now, I'm 71. Old guy.
You are an old guy.
I am. I didn't start taking it till 66 because I'm working.
Right.
And, you know,
I can't. Tell them why.
The reason is I can't afford that boat unless.
No. The reason why, Joe, is that if you retire at 62 and take early retirement, right, is that your income is limited in terms of, when I say it's limited.
Well,
you'll lose benefits once you reach their maximum of 15,000.
What is it? They lose, if you take it at 62,
it's two
you lose
for
about
one.
30%?
It's one for every two. No. It's $1 for every two of income over the threshold. The threshold, I think, is $15,008 this year. It's anything you want over
that. Now, here's what
that?
He just said. Let's do that clearly. So the threshold is somewhere between $15,000 and $16,000 a year that you can make with lose your Social Security.
So you're talking about working, but I'm just talking about the actual benefit.
That's a difference. I was talking about, though, Joe. Okay. I was responding to Joe. Joe said he waited to 66 because he's working.
He's working.
And the reason why is because if you do it between 62 and 66, you run the risk of losing some or all of the benefits.
Because of your working.
You can lose all of it. Yeah. Because when they take two for one, if you make, say, $40,000 a year, all the money you got from Social Security, you got to pay back. I mean,
essentially, when you reach that number, if it's at 40 and the threshold is 15, that means you got 25,000 excess earnings. Half of that is 15,000. 15,000 would have to get kicked back.
So that's literally what happens is this. Each individual person has to look at this equation and understand it. I have had magnificent experience with Social Security right here in Port St. Lucie, making an appointment. They have been wonderful people to talk to. They go out of their way to give people information. I'm not really a government person by any stretch, but I got to tell you, this office is managed as well as any business I've ever seen in my life. And that's.
But Joe, you're right, and I've heard that from my clients, but here's what you have to remember. They're there to give you information,
that's right,
not to give you advice.
No advice.
So they're not going to tell you, should I take it early, should I not, what all the ramifications are. They won't talk to you about spousal benefits.
No.
They won't talk to you about
They're going to only give you the information that you request.
Whatever you request, they'll give you an answer.
You have to go in the door prepared, knowing the question. So one of the things, and I've gone in with clients and helped them with this thing, and I've been very impressed. But, you know, and I do this, Tom, with clients all the time. So people say, Joe, I have this thing. I've had this thing for 10 years. Can you explain it to me? And I said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to call the thing company. And the thing company, I'm going to get them on the phone, and we'll put it on a speakerphone. And you'll give them authority to talk to me. And I will talk for you. And we're going to ask them the questions that I know the questions to ask. And I'll go through it. Every once in a while, I run into somebody and I'll say, well, you're not going to like what you're going to hear, so just get ready to be upset. But I am not going to tell you. We're going to hear it from the horse's mouth, and we're not hearing it from a commissioned agent. We're going to hear it straight from the company, which is only going to give it to you the straight skinny. So literally, a lot of things that we do, I don't know if they're typical or atypical, but I want to make sure that you, the customer, the client, the prospect, understands exactly what you have. I just had a really good one last week with somebody to understand their program, which was excellent. What they had, they weren't sure if it was any good. It was excellent. You can't get that anymore. What they have has not been available for years, so it was wonderful. So they're really protected, and I like that. 1-888-221-8990. So, you know, there's tons of different investments. There's tons of different strategies. But most important that I look at, let me just give you something I talked about today on the other show. Oil. You ever heard of oil?
I've heard of it.
Have you ever noticed that you're buying a gallon of gas today for give or take $2, $2.20? It's a dollar.
$2.17, yeah, about that.
It's $1.99 up in Sebastian or something a gallon. Well, everybody is absolutely ecstatic with being able to buy, not ecstatic, let's say when you used to pay a buck a gallon, you were really much better. I used to pump it as a kid for 16 cents.
Right.
Anyway, a couple of years ago. Anyway, the key thing is this. There's opportunities. Now, I can't say this is 100% opportunity, But history says five times in history has the price of gasoline and oil done this big curve, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And Boone Pickens, who's probably the biggest oil man in America, has said, hey, this price is not going to stay down. First of all, most companies, in order to break even in America, have to produce oil at no less than $42, give or take, per barrel. Now, in Russia, it's more like $100 a barrel. Different countries have a much higher price to produce it than we do. So we actually...
Why is that? I mean...
The cost to get it out of the ground...
But that's all mostly labor and the equipment costs are...
Don't ask me for answers to this. All I'm doing is telling you what I'm reading and hearing, that it costs more in some places, and they don't have a CPA over there that used to teach college, not at Columbia, telling them...
Tell them how to calculate it.
All right. Point is, it whatever it costs... Like, let's just take an offshore drilling rig.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are unbelievably expensive. Takes usually a couple years or longer.
I'm saying the equipment costs are going to be the same.
So the cost per barrel to make that thing pay.
But they pay their workers what? Pennies? A dollar?
No.
A dollar?
No. You know that. Well, there's the other side of the coin. So literally what's happened in America is they say right now about 90,000 oil workers in America have been laid off. 90,000. Worldwide, it's over 300,000. So today, we're at this, quote, close to the bottom, where all of a sudden the price is going to start coming back up again.
Well, see, Joe, the problem is there is as the price of oil drops,
yeah,
there's no incentive anymore for a lot of these companies to drill.
That's right.
Because the cost is just, you're saying, well, the cost is too prohibitive, and they're not making any money.
And then that drives up the supply.
So what happens?
Then it goes back.
And then the price goes down back to the supply.
It drives down supply, and then it drives up
then
the price.
Then all of a sudden, the price goes back up again.
And then they say all of a sudden that $55 a barrel, these domestic producers will start going again.
And then they'll
uncap the wells, and they'll start.
But what happens is there's a lag, 6 months to a year, to get all of these things cart and a horse in place. Like I heard a lot of people say, well, you know, this Iranian deal, the Iranians are going to start producing oil. I said, it doesn't happen overnight. These oil things are not as simple as just go out and plug a hole and pump it out.
It sometimes takes them 3 months just to undo the well, to put it in a dormant state.
Exactly.
They've got to wind it down.
The system is a bit difficult. So what I'm trying to say was the last time I saw an unusual opportunity in the stock market was during the height of the recession, when the government came and bailed out automobile companies, among other people, but they did not bail out Ford Motor Company.
Well, but they didn't ask for it.
Ford Motor Company shares got down to $1.80 a share.
I remember.
And I had a bunch of clients, including me, that bought shares. And my basic rule is, tell me what you want to sell it at. Don't be greedy. If you can double your money, get out. Well, you know what? I didn't make any money because I got out. And everybody
just before.
And it roared like crazy.
Yeah.
Up 14, 15, 16 bucks a share. So you paid $1.80. You put $100,000, and now you're worth over $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of opportunity. Well, point is, I think oil today is an opportunity, and I think anybody that is curious and wants to get information on it, I'd be glad to share it with them. And I look at opportunities. I'm not saying 100% possibility that it's going to definitely happen, but history says oil has unusual opportunity today because of the price per share, because the price per barrel is down, and these oil stocks are unusual.
Except for recently, Joe, I think it's the Saudis said they have no intent to raise oil for about 5 years.
However, you know, the Saudis have said another thing to their OPEC members. The OPEC members are very upset because the Saudis can afford to lose money because they got a monster backlog of money. A lot of the OPEC members don't have this backlog, so there's pressure on the Saudis. Now, forgive me, but I'm kind of Ben Carson on the Arabs, you know.
Well, be careful with that.
I know. Be careful.
They're all over him about that comment he made.
I know, but
they misinterpreted what he said.
I don't think they misinterpreted. Bottom line was, all I'm trying to say is, I believe that this whole house of cards with oil will come back just like it has five times in history, where you can be happy today at the gas pump, and you're going to probably be unhappy at the gas pump in a year or so when it's back to $4 a gallon.
Well, you know
or so.
What the big factor there, Joe, is going to be what happens with China.
Yeah.
And what happens with Russia.
Oh, yeah.
Because if China's economy starts to roar again, they'll be consuming a lot of that oil, and it'll drive
prices. Well, you'll get a kick out of this. China's the big scare right now. because China was producing at 7 and 8% growth per year. Well, they're down all the way to 5, which is more than double.
But they took a beating. They're still taking a beating.
But still, they're still growing at a very, very aggressive pace. But the point was, when things are going straight up, there's no such thing as things always going straight up or straight down. You've got to have a bit of a ripple. And right now, we're in the ripple. And there are opportunities always, and different things have them. And we're talking about people, what they're trying to do, to plan, to do what they're going to do. It's called, let's look at the whole picture and come up with a plan that makes sense. If you want to be 100% conservative, just use 5% in your head. That's not an ambitious number in today's, getting 5% return on your money. If you're not happy with that, you need to look at other things. Is there more risk? Of course. Is the time frame going to be different? Of course. Yep. You just need to look at the whole thing and then make an intelligent decision.
Well, you know, Jody, you made a good point. We should probably expand on it at the next show. Is this risk-reward formulation?
Oh, absolutely. You know, risk-reward.
You know, there is a lot to be said about that.
Because if you take a big risk, you could end up losing a lot of money.
You could lose it.
Exactly.
You could make 100 times your investment, or could lose the whole thing.
Tech stock.
Well, it's happened time and time again. What you have to do is go in with your eyes wide open and understand your risk and then beat it to death. And that's my job and your job, Vince. That's what we do with people, is try to make sure that you understand what you're doing. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. I mean, I'm helping the Mexican government tonight. I'm going to buy a burrito at Rancho Chico.
Oh, you are, Rancho Chico's. All right.
No comment. They didn't have to pay this for this commercial. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221.
You're in trouble now. You know that, don't you?
8990. What I'm trying to say is that if you don't want to call, which is too late now anyway.
It's too late.
We've only got 1 minute.
We got 1 minute left.
And Pastor Tom's holding his flip card out here, and he's bending it, so that means it's a half a minute. No. 888-221-8990. You call the radio station, talk to Pastor Tom or Connie. They'll take your name or number. They will then give us who to call, and we will call you up and help you any way we can.
Yes,
Tom, sir. What do you think?
Well, here comes a call. Somebody may be calling.
I know. Well, Connie will take it. We won't put him on the air.
Yeah,
but we might take that call after, because are we out of time?
We are just about 30 seconds away.
30 seconds? Are you holding a 30 up or no?
Well, yep, I will.
He's
in
holding
2 seconds.
In two seconds, yeah, you'll be
now 30 seconds.
Wait, I want to know when it's 15.
Well, I'll tell you.
Hey, folks, I tell you what, we've been very, very, very fortunate to be on WCNO. Pastor Tom has been an absolute treat, he and Connie. We've enjoyed every minute of it. And we've been able to help some people, and that's been very gratifying, too. And until next week.
Till next week.
Thank you so much for listening.
And God bless you.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to the Team MarTech program. The Team MarTech program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF MarTech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-229-0114.
red shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news in shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm